Skyline's new chicken chili is here. Now you can enjoy that legendary Skyline taste with a new protein option. Try Skyline's chicken chili on Waze, Coney's, and all your Skyline favorites. Feeling good. It's Skyline time.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
We are live. SB Talk Sports. Shaw Webb Real takes over fake debate. Shaw, it is Monday, and you already know we go an hour earlier than usual because we got a football game coming on here at 7 that we definitely got to chop it up about later in the show, Shaw. But first things first, how are you doing today on this Monday, brother?
Doing good, SB. Happy Monday to you. Happy Monday to everyone out there. Thank you for taking some time to listen to Real Takes Over Fake Debates on all the platforms.
Thank you. Appreciate y'all. Shaw, before you ask how I'm doing, I'm not doing good. If anybody knows who watched the show and know who my team is, I am a Chargers fan. Wasn't a good Sunday. We go definitely get into that. I have a lot to rant about that. We definitely go out of the conversation, and I don't like people trying to question my boy, but I know he didn't really do a good job that last game to help me defend him. It's probably one of his worst games he ever had. Mike McCarthy is out with the Cowboys. We got to talk about the Patriots. The Patriots got a new head coach. We got to talk about A.J. Brown reading the book on the sideline. We got to talk about the Commanders, too. The Commanders might found a gym. And we got to talk about them Ravens. Salute Tiffany in the chat talking about them Ravens right there. Salute Go James. Salute T.Y. He said, happy Eagles Monday. I knew he was going to be thirsty. He's like, he ready. Fly, Eagles, fly. But let's go through the first things first on the list. Let's knock it out. Mike McCarthy out as a Cowboys coach after 5 seasons. Jerry Jones does what he always do. He tried to wait to the last minute, the last second to try to pay somebody. And it didn't work out in his favor. Now Mike McCarthy is walking away. What is your reaction to the Cowboys letting Mike McCarthy walk? Is it a good or bad thing? And are you shocked at how Jerry handled this? Or is it just such a Jerry way to what he did?
I'll answer your second question first, SB. This is – Jerry Jones is senile. And I say that only because not a week ago, the Bears made a request to talk to Mike McCarthy, to interview Mike McCarthy. The Cowboys turned it down. People presume they turned it down because they were going to work out a long-term contract extension with Mike McCarthy and obviously his coaching staff, members of his coaching staff. The fact that they didn't get it done was very telling. Now, as I understand it, the reason why it did not get done was because Mike McCarthy wanted longer term security with his next deal, which you can understand from his perspective,
which is very understandable.
Yeah. Apparently the Joneses were not willing to do that. And so that's why now Mike McCarthy is a free agent to go out here on the market and join a crowded coaching market.
Yes, it is.
It's a very crowded coaching market. Mm-hmm. From the Cowboys' perspective, and I know we're going to talk about some potential names, and we'll obviously throw some names in there. My big question is, considering the makeup of the roster, mm-hmm. because it's not going to get much better, mm-hmm. presumably, mm-hmm. who's the upgraded head coach? Where's the upgrade from Mike McCarthy?
We'll take this trap job. This job is a trap.
Yeah, and please don't tell me, well, it's the Cowboys. Everybody wants to be the Cowboys head coach. Do they?
The problem is, Sean, I 100% agree with what you said, but the problem is Jerry Jones think like that. Like, it's a privilege to come be for a Cowboys. Like, I'm doing you a favor. So you better take whatever I'm going to get. You better take this bad roster, better take this bad contract, and be happy that you coaching the Cowboys because we the Cowboys. That's Jerry Jones' problem right there. You hit that right on the head, right there. But I'm sorry. Presume.
No, you're fine. So that's where I run into serious questions, right? Because, I think there's got to be some major conversation around how great is this job really comparative to other jobs now that this job is over? Because again, for a while, we weren't even talking about this job in the context of the other jobs available. It's not better than the Bears job.
No.
I think the Bears job would be the number one job available.
Yes.
I don't think it's better than the Jaguars job, if we're being very honest.
Is it better than the Jets?
Yeah, I guess.
You know, I guess. It's just the same ugly girl, but this one just got a little bit of makeup on it. That's it. That's what's happening.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm not gonna put a gender to it, but I think there's some conversation that has to be had around how great these jobs really are. So, and there's only one of 32. So obviously, if you haven't had a chance to be a head coach, or you're looking to get back into coaching, as some of these guys are, and they offer you the job and the money's right and the terms are right, you're not going to say no. You know, so I really question how great this job is, given the expectations, given that you don't really have a lot of control and say so over personnel and how the 53-man roster is made up. I would have said, you know, a month ago, SB, that if they were going to move on, Bill Belichick would have made perfect sense for this job, primarily because, again, respectability, but also, you know, Jerry Jones is more likely to acquiesce to Bill Belichick because he did it, albeit briefly, for Bill Parcells. So, and certainly, you know, the Jimmy Johnson thing, that's a different conversation. But my point is that how great is this job really if you're a candidate? So, you know, if I'm Mike McCarthy, I'm probably grateful to get out of there. Whether he'll get another job on this cycle, I think, is a different conversation. But yes, certainly, if I were him, I'd definitely be glad to get out of there.
Oh, I don't like the fact of how Jerry Jones handled it, and that's the same problem that he just went through with Dak and CD. And you end up paying more money, and you end up putting yourself in a bigger hole because you can't handle everything that you're doing, Jerry. You can't. That's why you got to hire people to do their job, and you got to get out the way. I don't know if you see it, but we're going to talk about this game later today. It was post-game of the Commanders game. Magic Johnson there, and I believe it was another owner. And Magic Johnson clearly said, all I do is we get the right people in the seats, we try to get the best players we could do, and I get out the way and let people do their job. People forget Magic Johnson had hands with the Commanders, and, you know, we already know about the Dodgers. Only time we see Magic is after a win. We don't see Magic no other time. We don't hear Magic talking during the season, saying nothing. But Jerry Jones, we got to see him every week. I feel like we talk more about the Cowboys this year about nonsense than actually about the team being good or somebody doing their job. And like you said, I agree with Mike McCarthy. He should be happy. It's a blessing in disguise that you're getting away from the Dallas Cowboys. Now, do I see another team offering him a job? I don't know. I think the Bears tried to offer him one. I don't think he's the guy for the Bears. I know you've been sending me about the guy for Notre Dame. I think maybe that guy for Notre Dame and Ben Johnson might be the guy for the Bears. Mike McCarthy, I don't know. And then Dallas, you look at the other teams on the market. You got, like you said, the Bears, the Jaguars, and the Jets is questionable, but they're still not better than the Raiders. What was the other team that was? It was another team that was better. We talked about it. The Saints. I don't think the Cowboys job better than the Saints, really. Because you got Dak, CeeDee, Michael Parsons. The defense has been kind of atrocious. You don't have money to make moves. So, and then there's also when you bring a guy in dealing with Jerry Jones, are you going to actually let the coach do his job? And that's the most important thing. So it's like, who would want to come into that situation and accepting that? And then the guy looking at you like, well, you should just be happy that you coached for the Dallas Cowboys.
Right.
And I think that's a recipe for disaster. This job, I'm sorry, no matter how popular the Dallas Cowboys is, this job is a trap. This is a trap job. You're going to go here, lose, they're going to blame you, and you're going to be fired within the next 2-3 years. Speaking of a new coaching hire, though, the New England Patriots has got their guy, former Patriot, too, again, by the way, Mike Vrabel. is the next Patriot head coach. Sean, what is your reaction to this? And also, you said, you told me before the show, you got something on this story. There's something extra going on behind the scenes with this story. Can you tell the people what that is?
So, a couple of things. So, first of all, Mike Vrabel, obviously, we know is a very good coach, right? Yes. He was a very good coach. Obviously, he's got history with the Patriots. He's a long time. He was a long time Patriot, part of three Super Bowl winning teams in the 2000s with that organization. Has a great deal of respect in that area. If you were going to hire Mike Vrabel, why play the game of complying with the Rooney Rule if you knew for a fact you were going to hire Mike Vrabel? Mm-hmm. So what they did the day after they fired Gerard Mayo, they bring in Byron Leftwich and Pep Hamilton for head coaching interviews. And for those who can't see, we're putting interviews in head quotes and in air quotes. Mm-hmm. Neither of those guys are currently coaching in the NFL. They have not coached in the NFL in 2 years. Mm. So it's very clear. Very clear. You were merely checking the box. So it was an absolute sham of a process. There was no real desire to scour the field by the Patriots organization. Not any. Not any. And I think there's a massive problem with the Rooney Rule when you're essentially saying, hey, please make sure you're interviewing at least one, I don't like the word minority, so I'm not going to say minority, one candidate of color for an open head coaching or front office position. And if you hire that person, you'll get a compensatory draft pick for doing it. So the Patriots had Gerard Mayo on the staff with Bill Belichick. Obviously, we know they let go of Belichick, or they part ways, however you want to put it, and Gerard Mayo gets the job. Well, Gerard Mayo getting the job gives them that compensatory draft pick. You fire Gerard Mayo after 1 year. Do you lose the pick? No.
Yeah.
You still get it because you made the hire. So
they should.
They should. But they're not going to. So I think we can't keep rewarding just the simple thing, SB, of, well, at least you check this box. Mm-hmm. Checking the box should not be rewarded. And again, if you make the decision to move on from the person of color you hire for that position, I think you got to lose the pick. I think you don't get the compensatory pick because, again, you're not following the spirit of what the Rooney Rule was intended to do. It wasn't just to make sure people got interviews. That's part of it. Part of it is to make sure that the process isn't a sham. So when you have people like Brian Flores, who we know for a fact filed suit against the NFL, in particular several teams, because of the process that he went through, this is telling you that it's still a problem and it's not getting fixed. And the NFL has to do better in this space, because we're gonna keep having the same conversations every single year, SB, until they look deeper into what the problem is with the process. Having an independent person sitting there during these interview process, let's find out what they're asking these coaches.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't these coaches getting chosen? Because again, take nothing away from Byron Leftwich and from Pep Hamilton. 3 or 4 years ago, those guys were in the head coaching conversation. Mm-hmm. They are not now because they're not coaching in the NFL. So, and we saw Aaron Glenn literally turn down an interview opportunity with the Patriots because I think he knew for a fact it was
what it was.
And I think he knew that they'd already locked in on Vrabel. So why would he waste his time going to spend 9 and 10 hours with the Patriots when they've already essentially made their decision? So Robert Kraft, Jonathan Kraft, Kraft family, Kraft cheeses, Kraft products, y'all got to do better because this is garbage.
I also want to ask you, was it a good coaching hire first? But after that point, let's just one through ten, Sean, what do you rate this coaching hire before I go on that point? Because you just went off now.
Oh, I'm going to say 6 or 7.
Okay.
Again, because I think, again, is he going to get more than a year? You got to think so.
He better.
Is he going to get the opportunity to spend all of that cap space that they didn't really spend this offseason, this past offseason, this offseason?
I hope.
You know, so, you know, we like to think Drake May is probably going to be a really good quarterback. He's shown some flashes, but it can't just be having a quarterback because the rest of their offense isn't very good. So, you know, I'm going to say 6 or 7, but that remains to be seen. And also, let's just be very honest. Buffalo is the class of that division.
Yes.
So do we think this puts them ahead of Miami in the division? Probably not.
Probably not.
Just it's currently constructed. The Jets are a mess, so we're not even going to count them now. So, you know, so I mean, again.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Based on what the expectations are on how the roster is constructed, what do they want? What are they trying to get out of this? And that's where I stand on it. So it remains to be seen. I think he showed, obviously, in Tennessee, he can coach. He's a good head coach. Yeah. But let's wait and see.
For me, on my side of it, I think this is a solid coaching hire. So I give it like around like a 6 range. Like he did a solid job in Tennessee. Obviously, he got the ties with the Patriots, so it's probably making it an easier transition for him to work with the Kraft cheese family in your term, Sean. So I think we'll see how it goes. But I hope they actually do give him more than 1 year, like they did Gerard Mayo, because it's just like what can you expect them to do in 1 year with that roster? But so the topic of what you brought about the Rooney Rule thing, I'm at a point now where the Rooney Rule needs to be out, because the disrespect of you just calling me, and I'm just imagining a guy, right? So I'm like you said, the Detroit guy. So I go, I flat playoff time, whatever. I fly for Detroit, even if I was out the season. I fly from Detroit, come to New England, be here for about 10 hours, wasting my time, knowing that you don't want to hire me, but you're just doing this because you have to do it. It's 2025. And for us to still have this problem, it's ridiculous. And it shows a lot about the NFL hasn't grown as much as we thought it has grown. Because even if you got to put an incentive in for you to hire a person of color at a job position, that shows how much you has not grown. This shouldn't still be a rule. You should be able in this day and age to put somebody in a spot of color, which have shown in NFL to be successful at that position. Why do we still have this rule? Why is this still a thing? And ain't nobody really. My problem is that's what I want people to talk about. Why is the Rooney Rule even still a thing in this 2025? What have y'all learned since then? Because it's clearly nothing. And if you know you're gonna fight, if you know you, like you said, Sean, if you know you already got your person you hiring, just hire the person. Don't waste nobody's time.
And can I say this really quickly? The fact that the Rooney Rule is named after a white guy is not lost on me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, because named after Dan Rooney from the Steelers, who obviously we know the Steelers have a black head coach. And let me say this really quickly about the Steelers. The Steelers, more often than not, when they have a head coach opening, which we know they've had 3 coaches in 55 years, they don't have head coach overs as often.
No, they don't.
They know what they want going in to the process. the Rooneys always know what they want. They want a younger guy, preferably in their 30s or so, because they don't want to be changing coaches every few years. Mm-hmm. Pittsburgh is a blue collar town. Mm-hmm. They want someone from the defensive side of the ball traditionally.
Yep.
And they also want someone who's a great communicator, a leader, a teacher. That's what they want. So mm-hmm. Chuck Noll, Bill Cowher, Mike Tomlin, all of those guys fit the same bill. None of those guys had connections to the Pittsburgh Steelers organization before they became the head coach. Mm. But they know going in what they traditionally are looking for. So Mike Tomlin was not a wide favorite before the process started because they had Ken Whisenhunt, they had Russ Grimm, they had other people who were attached to the Steelers who were a part of the organization. Everybody thought, oh, Cowher's stepping down, they're just gonna, they didn't do that. Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is that the Rooney Rule still exists, SB, I think part because there's no diversity at the ownership level. And this is the only way to force, frankly, antiquated white men to look at candidates outside of their comfort pool. And by comfort pool, what I mean is people who you would have come over your house for dinner with your young, hot wife. So that's what I'm talking about. I'm just being honest here. Let's keep it a buck. That's what it is, right? So, and for those who are offended by what I just said, I don't really care because I'm being honest with you. I know that's how it works oftentimes. So let's just be honest. Let's just be honest here. Let's just be honest. That's why we still have it. But until there's some diversity at the ownership level, meaning at the majority ownership level, because there isn't any in the NFL, to be honest, but there isn't any in a lot of major sports. But until there's some at the ownership level, the Rooney Rule still has to exist. Now, the spirit of how it's being enforced and how it's being used has to be reviewed. And it has to be reviewed independent of the NFL. And until they do that, we're going to keep getting the same sham stuff that we're getting constantly when it comes to this time of year with head coach and front office openings, not necessarily going to the big two candidates who we think have earned the opportunity to have those chances.
I'm shaking my head at this. And Brandon, that's what I told people, hey man, don't be breaking up the Texans in here, man. I'm still recovering from this loss. Okay, we definitely gonna talk about this. As Tiffany said, Sean Spence, straight facts. 100% Sean Spence, straight facts. Shire here, sunshine so hard. No, look, man, forget the Texans right now. Even though I've been rocking with the Texans all this year, but they the ops right now. So we gotta, since he brought the Texans, we gotta go playoffs. We're going to go to the good, the bad, and the ugly from what happened during the playoffs. So let's do with the good first. The good. Buffalo Bills beat the Denver Broncos 31-7. I actually thought this game was going to be kind of closer than what it was. But no, one thing I would say I personally did laugh out the Bo Nix, but I think Bo Nix is actually a solid and going to be a great quarterback and going to be here for a long time. James Cook and Josh Allen both went off. Josh Allen went 20 for 26, 272 on the yards, two touchdowns. James Cook, which I'm glad they actually – Bills finally get it. It took for them to lose all their receivers to finally get it past the running back the ball. James Cook actually got 23 carries. That's what I like to see. 120 yards, one touchdown. What was your reaction to this game? I think my short reaction was a masterclass by the Buffalo Bills. Josh Allen shows why he's in the MVP conversation. The Bills are at the top of their game, and they're like they're ready to make a deep playoff push this run, but they're gonna have a tough next round. Hey, look, if any time you want to have an award battle and it's this close and they might run into each other, right here, this is the MVP game. Hold the votes. Don't put the votes in. Hold the votes. Whoever wins leaves with the MVP trophy that game. But what was your reaction to this Buffalo Bills versus Broncos game?
So, certainly, SB, when we talked about this game on this past our past podcast, you know, we talked about kind of the matchup and things of that nature. I thought Denver could not really run the football at all. They needed badly to try to have some control, some of the time possession. Buffalo completely dominated time possession. I think Buffalo had the ball for 42 minutes of the game, of a 60-minute game. It was like 41 and some change.
41, 43. Might as well say 42. 42 minutes of the game. Jesus. Sure.
Yes. So when you have the ball two-thirds of the game, you're probably dominating the game. You know, again, I'm not going to get into some of the play calling and things of that nature. Because, again, I think certainly we can talk about that from a Broncos perspective. There was a little bit of a disagreement, I'll say, on the sideline between Sean Payton and the defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph. Vance Joseph, you know, was like, hey, what do you want me to do? We're on the field for 40 minutes. There's not a lot. That means that, to me, tells me that the offense is not moving the ball well, not controlling the ball well. So the Broncos did not play complimentary football at all yesterday. The Bills played great complimentary football yesterday, and that's why they dominated the way they did.
What you expect the defense to do if they on the field for 41 minutes, dog? Like, ain't nobody can do something.
And and it's a chicken or egg thing, because you'll say, well, the defense is on the field because they're not getting stops. Well, it's possible the defense isn't getting stops because they're on the field so much, because the offense is going long enough to give them a chance to catch their breath on the sideline. And again, the time of possession tells me a lot. When you have the ball for two-thirds of the game, that means you're not playing complimentary football. And I thought the Broncos were terrible yesterday in complimentary football.
Brandon has a statement. Oh, I want to use it as a question real quick, since we talking about Josh Allen, he's an MVP conversation. Brandon said the MVP is cursed. You don't want it. Everyone who wins the MVP loses the Super Bowl that year. Sean, is the MVP cursed to you? Should Lamar not want it, or Josh Allen not really want the MVP? Because Lamar haven't won it. He hasn't won it, to be true.
Is the Madden curse real? You know, I don't believe in curses. I believe at the end of the day, sometimes you run up against a team that just finds a way to beat you that Sunday, but it doesn't mean that the award or the video game is a curse. It's just any given Sunday. That's the nature of the business.
And also, Sean, we're going to talk about this guy later in the show too. I mean, it's a running back that's going to be available in the draft. Hey, look, he done deal with people being eight in the box on him all the time. You know, because ain't no way you go win a game and your quarterback leading the team in rushing with four rushing attempts and 43 yards. The Broncos running game got to be better. Next game on the list, a part of the good category, the Philadelphia Eagles take down the Packers to reach the divisional round with a 22-10 win. Saquon Barkley, Josh Allen went off. Saquon Barkley, 25 carries, 119 yards, could have had more on why he just didn't run it in, but that's a different, you know, different argument for another day. But the bigger story, which we could add this in the bad category too. Jordan Love with the three interceptions didn't really look as good this game. And Jalen Hurts looked pretty solid. What was your main takeaway from the game? Was just the Eagles and the defense just that solid, or did Jordan Love sell the bag on this one?
So I know the numbers are going to say Jordan Love threw three interceptions. Two of those interceptions, really, I wouldn't even count to him. The first one was just a great play by Slay on Wicks down the field. Those would normally be passes he would be throwing to Christian Watson. Obviously, Christian Watson was out yesterday. So that one I don't even necessarily count when you talk about interceptions. The one to Zach Bond, you know, obviously, the first one, the one to Zach Bond, obviously, you want to talk about that one. That wasn't necessarily a great one. That's probably the one I would put on Jordan Love a little bit. But the last one, again, the last kind of desperation heave, the game is pretty much already over. You just try to throw one in the end zone, and Quinyon Mitchell picks it off. Again, I think the Packers can't make excuses. They had a lot of injuries going into the game yesterday. They had more guys go out yesterday. They just got physically dominated, I think. And outside of, you know, the one long run for Josh Jacobs that I know he took in, you know, they scored a touchdown, they did a pretty good job of containing Josh Jacobs. And, you know, and again, I think the Eagles just physically, you know, dominated them. And if the Dallas Goedert touchdown, when he basically swats away I think 24, the defender 24 from the Packers, he swats him away like he's a fly around his potato salad. Like, it was, it was just a physically dominant game. And I kind of expected the Eagles to play the way they did, given the fact that Jalen Hurts hadn't played in 3 weeks because of the concussion. And so they really needed to kind of dominate physically. And they did. I want to say this really quickly because some people will say, well, you didn't throw for 300 yards, you didn't have a good game. You do what you have to do to win the game.
Win the game.
Every single week is going to look different, right? Mm-hmm. There's going to be some weeks where you say, hey, because of the weather, because of the conditions, we have to dominate the line of scrimmage, and that's how we're going to win this game. And we're going to dominate the line of scrimmage. We're going to play time possession. We're going to keep our defense fresh. That's how you win. There's other weeks where you say, hey, listen, we got to open this thing up a little bit more. We got to pass the football. This, or we playing against a pass defense that's not very good. We think there's some opportunities there for us. That's how we'll win. That's the nature of it. That's what the Eagles do. Every week, it's what do we got to do to win this week, to put ourselves in a position to win this week. And for the most part, since their bye week in week five, they've been able to do that. Now, that said, I don't think they can play the way they played yesterday next week because they could play one of these two offenses that we're going to be talking about here in a moment that will probably put up some points. So they're going to have to be more efficient. They're going to have to be better in the passing game, and I think they will. I think they'll do that. So I know people are going to be going crazy about Jalen Hurts didn't play well, blah, blah, blah. Calm down. They did what they had to do to beat the Packers. They'll figure out what they got to do to beat the Vikings or the Rams next week.
Yeah, a lot of people was going to say that, Sean, because
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Somebody added fuel to the fire. It has been a little concern this year with Mr. A.J. Brown about his touches. And during the game, and obviously in this game, he had one reception for 10 yards. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not looking at the full stat sheet. So I don't know how many times he was actually targeted, but whatever. I know it wasn't that much that of to his likeness. AJ Brown is reading a book on the sideline. Obviously, I'm thinking he's just upset about his targets because obviously, you know, he's the best wide receiver on his team, number one guy. He's paid like that. AJ Brown is a dog. So you got to find a way to get him the ball, even though the Packers defense was solid on the receivers. Is AJ Brown going to start to become a problem?
No. No. And he had three targets, just for clarity, I guess. You know, listen, that I don't think the game plan was, hey, we're going to get the ball to AJ a bunch in this game. I think they knew there were some opportunities there with Goddard, particularly without Quay Walker there. And Devontae Smith got some targets late in the game, later in the game. You know, again, some of it was, I think, just the fact that Jalen Hurts hasn't practiced and hasn't played. They weren't in rhythm with their passing game, so it wasn't going to be a high-volume passing game. They only threw 21 passes, had 21 pass attempts yesterday. So there wasn't going to be this great volume of targets with 21 pass attempts for A.J. Brown. At the end of the day, next week, I would expect A.J. Brown to be targeted more in a bigger part of the game plan.
Better.
You know, so – but if you're the Eagles, what, again, as I said earlier, what do they have to do to win? AJ Brown reading the book on the sideline, he was trolling. He knew what he was doing. He was giving, you know, some of the something to talk about. But it and you know what, SB, I thought about this. you know, 20 years ago, the Eagles had a dynamic receiver and a dynamic quarterback, Donovan McNabb, T.O. Everybody wants to make this Donovan and T.O. part two. It's not.
It's not.
It's not. Like, let's not do that. They know what they're there to do. They're there to try to get back to the Super Bowl and try to bring another trophy home to the city of brotherly love.
And both of their egos not as bad as Donovan McNabb and Terrell Owens is. Terrell Owens and Donovan McNabb egos was bad, bad. It just wasn't a bad mixture. But, you know, A.J. Brown keep being upset, man. You know, we're going to talk about another team later who needs a receiver. So, you know, go ahead and be upset. He's
He's not going anywhere. He just got paid again. He's not going anywhere.
Man, take that, man. Pay that tab, Eagles. We ain't come get him. But on to another good game of the Commanders, and it was a close game. The Commanders win their first playoff game since 2005. The rookie Jaden Daniels led the team to a game-winning drive. 24 for 35, 268 yards, and two touchdowns for the rookie in his first ever playoff game.
Right.
Led the team down to a game-winning drive for a field goal for a win. Ooh-wee shot. I'm not going to lie. The Commanders are very, 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 very dangerous, and if you take this team lightly, you will lose. But what's your reaction to this? And Jaden Daniels and the boys getting that dub yesterday. Good game, by the way, too.
Yeah, good game. Certainly, it was a very good game. Obviously, the most competitive game of the wild card weekend so far. SB, I got a quick trivia question for you.
Okay. All right, I'm ready.
Let's see. Washington, they weren't the Commanders back then. We ain't going to say who they were back then. But Washington won their last playoff game in 2005.
Okay.
Do you know who the opponent was?
Last year, they won 2005. Ooh, I'm trying to think who was good around that time. Can I get one hit? Is it a division or no?
No, not in their division.
Don't tell me it's the Bears.
No, it wasn't the Bears. It wasn't the Bears.
What division wasn't the Bears? 49ers?
No, it wasn't the 49ers. It wasn't the 49ers.
South. Atlanta?
No.
Oh, the Buccaneers.
It's the Buccaneers.
Buccaneers. So yeah, double back on it. Buccaneers.
And just real quick, do you know who the coach was and who the quarterback was for Washington then?
I don't know. 05.
I give you a hint. It's the greatest coach in their franchise history.
In the Commanders' history?
Yes.
I don't know why I'm drawing a blank on this coach. I don't know the coach. Okay, who is it?
It was Joe Gibbs.
Fuck, duh. Yeah. I don't know why I'm drawing a blank. Duh. That's obvious. Yeah. Okay, who's the quarterback?
And the quarterback was Mark Brunell.
Oh, Mark Brunell. Okay. Yeah, but I knew that answer, Joe. Yeah. My man was drawing a blank, bro, because I'm thinking, like, I'm too busy trying to lock in on the years around that time. Yeah. Said Tampa. Yeah, Tampa, the Bucks. Yeah. But I like this win. I think I'm happy for the Commanders because they actually got their guy. And I never realized how – and this is the difference from football and, like, the basketball and NBA. Like, when I seen the reaction of the Commanders fans when they finally got their first win and people really rocked with the teams, people were crying that they finally got a win. And this is the big difference from, like, the NFL, from any other sport, not the NBA. People are fans of the team. No matter who own the team, we gonna rock with the team. And people need to get that mentality from the NFL. Once NFL got people to rock with the teams, it didn't matter who was on the team. It don't matter because everybody can rock with the team regardless. And then the Commander fans are even double happy because they finally got that guy. And if you know the history of the Commanders and their quarterbacks, you'll understand. I've seen fans with, like, it was like a 15-year stretch, bro. He had a different quarterback name every year, boy. It was crazy. It was like quarterback roulette.
I think it's a reminder, SB, ownership matters. It matters. Mm-hmm. They got rid of the worst owner. I mean,
you can say it. Yeah.
If you don't know Dan Snyder's history, just look it up. It's bad. Like he was bad, and yeah, he was bad. Getting rid of him, obviously, you know, Josh Harris and Magic Johnson and that ownership group coming in and helping to turn around the culture, and you know, hiring Dan Quinn, and obviously drafting Jaden Daniels, but bringing in some of the veteran guys they brought in, the Bobby Wagners and the Dante Fowlers and the Marshawn Lattimores. Mm-hmm. Like, they have changed that culture. If I was a Commanders fan, I would be super excited about the future, because it feels truly like they got the right people in the right spots to take care of business. Jaden Daniels obviously being the face. That dude, I watched him last night, SB. He is so cool. It's like pressure. Like,
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. You know, and you know, there was a video not too long ago of him sitting courtside at a Wizards game, because you know who goes to Wizards game, but he was sitting courtside.
And they give the tickets for free.
they might actually pay you to come to the game. But he was at the game with his mom, and his mom is sitting there next to him. And I don't know if he was chewing gum or he was doing something, and she leans over to him and like corrects him, and he fixes whatever it is he needed to fix. What it tells me is he's not this guy with this massive ego, you know, and he wants to be great, but I think he wants to, you know, help those around him be great as well. And that's probably what makes him who he is. But shout out to Commanders getting a big win. Advancing to face the Lions. I know we're going to talk about this on Friday, but if I'm the Lions, I am not looking past the Commanders at all.
I'm not happy.
They can definitely go into Detroit and steal one because they believe.
Yeah, and then also, I know, especially with the injuries, this has been like the Lions' way for a while. Like, they've just been trying to get in shootouts, and it's just like, we got so much weapons, and Ben Johnson just his offensive guru, and we're gonna shoot out you. We're gonna throw the guns out, we're gonna shoot it out. I don't think you want to do this with this team too, man, because just as much as the Lions can score, the Commanders getting rid of with Jay Daniels, he can put up they put up points too, and they got weapons over there too. So I think the Lions will be rolling the dice trying to play that game. But also, another high praise for Jaden Daniels. Teddy Bruschi, I always say it wrong.
Teddy Bruschi.
Jesus, I always have to get a beer. Bruschi. Teddy Bruschi said Jaden Daniels is the best rookie quarterback he has ever seen. Do you believe with old Bru?
I mean, it's certainly a conversation, SB. I think, obviously, you know, we can't forget what CJ Stroud, you know, did last year. And, you know, there's others if you really want to think back. But when you just look at the situation that these guys came into, and those two in particular, those teams were nowhere near good before they got there. So I want to, much as you want to give credit to Jaden Daniels this season and CJ Stroud last season, you have to give a great deal of credit to these organizations making great hires at the head coaching position, and D'Amico Ryans last year, and obviously Dan Quinn this year. And these weren't necessarily guys who came with these massive offensive backgrounds, because we know those are defensive guys. These are guys who came in and helped to establish cultures. And being a young quarterback who I think buys into what they're selling matters as much. But that said, Jaden Daniels is amazing, legit, and I can't wait to see what he continues to do in the future. They got to continue to build it around him. We know they're still playing, so we're not going to talk about what their offseason looks like, but they got $100 million in cap space this offseason. If they can go out and fix, because they're all, and I'll be honest too, their offensive line isn't great.
Go buff that up.
Can they buff that up? Can they add another weapon on the other side of Scary Terry? I'm saying like a T. Higgins type.
Possibility.
Possibility.
I'll buff up that defense some more if I was them. I'll buff it up.
You know, I think they could obviously consider that as well. So my point is that they just got to continue to invest, particularly while they have Jaden Daniels on a rookie deal and an expensive deal, because this is the time to do it now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're right there in the NFC conversation. I mean, next season, if you really think about it.
The best time to win or go all out is while your quarterback on that rookie contract. Because once you pay the quarterback, their roster getting depleted. And then Jaden Daniels' rookie year, see, I'm looking up top 10 quarterbacks. He had 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. And he had a 100 QBR rating, 69 completion. Imagine y'all know with the extra yardage. Y'all got to take this with a grain of salt because of the extra game. But some of the best quarterbacks that they said had rookie years, we got a Cam Newton up here. Cam Newton had 4,000 passing yards, 21 touchdowns, 17 interceptions, 706 rushing yards with 14 rushing TDs. That was the outstanding rookie year. Then we got to go to Great Dan Marino. Had 2,000 yards, had 20 touchdowns, 6 interceptions in his rookie season. But obviously, you saw C.J. Stroud. C.J. Stroud had 4,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Ben Roethlisberger is on this list, too. Also, with some of the records, Ben Roethlisberger went 13-0 his rookie year? Sheesh.
Yeah. Yes. Now, again, when you just – and, again, the context, when you talk about some of these rookies – Big Ben walked into a great situation.
Outstanding situation.
Right. They had a great defense. They had the bus. You know, they had a great running game. He just – and if you watch his tape from that rookie year, he was basically managing the game. He wasn't – he made some plays here and there, but he was basically managing the game. His job was not to screw it up. So
– can't screw that defense.
When you just look at the situations that Jaden Daniels this season walked into, that C.J. Stroud walked into – the year before, and there are others who've walked into some really bad situations and to help turn around pretty quickly in one season. That's kind of unheard of. And so, yeah, I think Jaden Daniels is, when you talk about best rookie seasons ever, it's right there.
Yeah. And then when you go from a number two pick in the draft to the playoffs the right next season, that tells you a lot about him. But I got one more for you. I'm gonna give you Big Ben stats. I'm gonna give you one more with the five, because the five one is a very good Big Ben had 2,600 yards, 17 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. Sean, who can you guess number five is? Very relatable to Jaden Daniels, by the way.
RG3.
Yes, sir. RG3. 3,200 yards, 20 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, 850 rush yards, 7 rushing TDs.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Yeah. Shout out
and he was outstanding his rookie year. Like, bro,
I thought RG3 was going to be the next coming to Michael. Bro, if RG3 didn't get hurt, I'm trying to tell people RG3 was nice. Yeah. Nice. But we got to go to there. We go to the bad. The Steelers lose 28-14 to the Baltimore Ravens in a wild card game. What was your reaction to that loss? The Steelers did not look good in that first half. They fixed it a little bit the second half, but by that time, the game was already over and done with. What was your reaction to this game, Sean?
Not surprised at all. Baltimore literally bullied them from the opening kickoff. You know, for a Steelers defense to give up almost 300 yards rushing, that's unheard of for the Steelers, but I mean, I think there's two things we have to be very honest about. Number one, the Baltimore Ravens have a very good football team. They have arguably one of, if not the best roster in the NFL.
True.
We talk about Lamar, but yes, and we know how great Lamar is, but they got a really good roster. So much so that Zay Flowers, while he was missed, you knew they were going to figure out a way to make it work without him.
I like how they switched it up. Lamar ran a lot more. He played totally different.
He played totally different, but he played within himself. And again, he only threw 21 passes because they didn't need him to go out there and throw a lot when literally Pittsburgh could not stop them from running the football. And also they got up so early. They were up 21-0, as we know, SB. And literally it's like we know the Steelers are not coming back in this game. And even though you saw the fake hustle come back late by the Steelers and Sierra, the fact is we knew they weren't going to win that game. So, but let's also be very honest too. The Steelers are not as talented as some people think they are.
They got hot at the right time.
They got hot in the middle of the season.
And the schedule favored them.
The schedule favored them. And then we saw the last part of the season where that schedule got really tough and that cream did not rise to the top. So let's be very honest. That's not a very talented football team. And again, this is no slight to the Steelers. I have all the respect in the world for the Steelers organization. Mm-hmm. Compared to the Ravens, that's not a talented football team.
No. Mm-mm. It's not close. Sean, one thing that happened during this game that I didn't like, what Mike Tomlin did coaching-wise, was the flip-flopping with Justin Fields in with the gimmick plays they tried to run. I don't think Justin Fields is that type of quarterback. And then, obviously, you don't want to throw Russ rhythm off. I didn't like when they did. They tried, like, one play. Nobody fell for it. The Ravens didn't fall for it. I think if you plan on keeping these two guys in the future, which you're going to talk about in a second, you got to stop doing that because Justin Fields is not that type of guy. But the main thing that everybody is talking about, where I said the bad for this story, is Mike Tomlin. Is Mike Tomlin on a hot seat without a playoff win since 2016? The Steelers have already came out and said Mike Tomlin is not going anywhere for the moment now. But is next year going to be a hot seat year for Mike Tomlin?
I would say the Steelers are the one team where I would say a coach is not necessarily on the hot seat. And I know that sounds strange because obviously in this space that we're in, we always want to talk about the coaching hot seat.
Yep.
It's like the Steelers and the Heat and the Spurs. Like the coaches aren't on the hot seat in those locations. That's just not how they operate. They're always going to take the long view. Now, I do, again, think they have to be very, very honest about where they are. Where they are is they're a team that's good enough to get in the playoffs every year, but they are not a team that is built to win a Super Bowl in not even just their division, but also the conference. When you look at just the rest of the conference, they have to own that. They got to be honest about that. And they got to figure out what it is we can do to balance things a little bit more. I'm not sure you bring back Russell Wilson.
We're going to talk about it in a second, yeah.
I'm not sure they saw enough or they allowed themselves to see enough of Justin Fields where you say unquestionably we bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
I think you have conversations, but I don't know if you necessarily say that. Now, as it relates to Mike Tomlin, if they fire Mike Tomlin, SB, who's the upgrade?
Bill Belichick? I don't know. That's about it. That's what you go give. But like you said, they don't hire older guys, too.
That's not their MO.
Better go get that guy for Notre Dame. Go get that guy for Notre Dame.
But again, he would fit the mold of what they do.
Yeah.
Right? So – but again, that's assuming that one, he would be available, and two, he would be interested in that job if it became open. I just don't see them. That's just not how they work. As long as Mike Tomlin wants to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I think Mike Tomlin's going to be the head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And he earned that right.
I think he has earned that. Now, I think he's also, and he'll probably even admit this himself, earned some of the criticism. Part of the criticism for me goes back to they didn't have a succession plan for Big Ben. They never did. And some of the choices they've made at that position, when you talk about Kenny Pickett and Mitch Trubisky and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, haven't necessarily worked out.
Yeah.
And we got to look at why. We got to be honest about why.
Because they got pieces on offense.
I mean,
Najee, George Pickens.
Well, I don't want to call George Pickens a piece because you got to be there all the time if you're a piece. And George Pickens is not there all the time in between the ears. Let's be honest. He's a head.
He's a knucklehead.
Yeah, he's a knucklehead. Like, you can't depend on a knucklehead. Like, you know, ask a knucklehead to come pick you up by 11. You might see him at 12:30, 1 o'clock at the earliest. You know, so that's what I'm saying. So you can't depend on George Pickens. Freiermuth is a really good piece, but Najee Harris isn't under contract. Jalen Warren's not under contract, so they're probably going to have a different potentially running back room next year. The offensive line has gotten slightly better, but I don't think it's a class offensive line, you know, and hasn't been for a few years. So, and they've invested a lot in their defense. So, you know, I think there's got to be some real conversation about have we done everything in our power?
No.
To build a team that we think can legitimately compete for Super Bowls? And the answer emphatically is no. And I'm going to say this real quick because I don't want to spend a lot of time on Russell Wilson.
Okay, we talk about him next. So if you want to hold it, wait, we'll talk about him next.
I'll hold it.
Okay. Tiffany said, don't forget the Steelers passed on Lamar Jackson. They could have got him in 2018. A lot of people passed on Lamar Jackson. A lot of people, I regret that they passed on Lamar Jackson too. I bet you happy your Ravens got him though. But for me, Sean, not even just on how the Steelers run their organization, Mike Tomlin won't be on the hot seat next year, and he shouldn't be on the hot seat, and he earned the right to leave the Steelers when he wanted to leave. That man don't have an undefeated season. Maybe sometimes you could argue with how the tanking thing working in the NFL, maybe he should tank a season, but that's not Mike Tomlin's way. He's not going to do that at all. The fact of the matter is people got to accept this. Yes, the glaring picture is that even we talk about it, Mike Tomlin has not won a playoff game since 2016. Nobody even expects the Steelers to be in the playoffs this year. They overachieved this year. Nobody talks about that side of the story. Because even if I go back and look at our previews, I had them finish last in the division. And I believe you had them finish last too.
I had them finish third.
Third. Nobody had them finishing no higher than third or fourth in the division. And knowing how the AFC is set up, it's rare to get three teams in the playoffs in one division. Luckily, the AFC West did it, shockingly. But it's hard to do that with how deep the AFC is. So people got to accept the fact that the Steelers overachieved this year. This team wasn't that good. The quarterback position was in question. You got a knucklehead as your number one receiver, as we talked about. So that, let's not act like, oh, my God, let's put Mike Tomlin on the hot seat because he didn't win in 2016. This team shouldn't have made it to the playoffs. It shouldn't have made it to the playoffs. I'm sorry to tell you this. So, no, I'm not worried about Mike Tomlin being on the hot seat. He should be on the hot seat. He should be back running the Steelers next year. And we can see what that comes from. But, like you said, we got to talk about Russell Wilson, Sean. Kind of, you had something to say about it. Russell Wilson hopes to return to the Steelers next season. He said it has been a blessing to play for the Steelers. And also, this has been the best franchise he had played for. Yeah, brother, I bet it is, because they got a good, stable organization. And it ain't just going there. You got your own office. You ain't going to do all that crazy stuff. This is a real organization over there in Steelers country. Mike Tomlin running that team to the core. But, Sean, from what you've seen this season, and I still want to hear what you said about Russell Wilson. But what you've seen this season for Russell Wilson, should the Steelers bring him back?
No.
Okay, why?
Because it's he's a band-aid on a broken leg.
I mean, not lying.
Let's just look at the division. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, Baltimore. Baltimore. We know those guys are not just their quarterbacks now. That's their long term. Those guys are their long term. Mm-hmm. Stop putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. Mm-hmm. Figure out, can you get your long-term quarterback in that building in the next year or so? Figure that out. The problem is, as we know, SB, the Steelers traditionally are not bad enough to be up at the top of the draft to take a quarterback. Now, Tiff mentioned earlier, they had a chance, just like a lot of teams had a chance, to take Lamar in 2018, and they didn't take Lamar. Part because they still had Ben, part because, again, they weren't preparing for
the future. They had somebody there behind Ben.
And if the Steelers have one criticism as an organization, and they don't have many, is that they traditionally hold on to older quarterbacks without having an answer behind them. Case in point, 1984. They had a chance to draft Dan Marino. Mm. They had Terry Bradshaw. Terry Bradshaw was older. He was getting up there. Like, it was not certain how much longer Terry Bradshaw was going to be able to play. They passed on Dan Marino. They took Gabe Rivera, a.k.a. Senior Sack, and he was a beast in college. So you understand they were trying to rebuild their defense with the steel curtain and all that stuff. But Terry Bradshaw got hurt that next season and never played again. Mm. So my point is that they have got to, as an organization, start thinking long-term, more long-term at quarterback. Russell Wilson is not your long-term answer.
No.
He's not. No, that was why you and I, SB, talked about when they got Justin Fields. Like, hey, play Justin Fields. See if Justin Fields can be your long-term answer. Justin Fields is 24 years old. I think he turns 25 soon.
Yep.
See if he can be your long-term answer. Based on this season, it doesn't seem like they were overly interested in trying to test that out, part because there was great pressure by the organization and by many of those in that organization, I think, to try to win a playoff game that they haven't won in 8 years. So you understand it from that perspective, but at the same time, figure out your long-term quarterback situation. And I'm telling you, Russ ain't it.
Yeah. No. I'm gonna disagree with you, Sean. I think from what he has done this year to get this team to the playoffs, he deserves another season with the Steelers. I think the Steelers should bring him back under one condition: either you draft somebody like how the Falcons had Michael Penix there sitting waiting behind Kirk Cousins, because I don't think going to get another older quarterback is not the thing for the Steelers. Either you draft another quarterback, or it depends on how much Justin Fields asking for. Because you don't want to pay Russell some money and have the backup having both a decent amount of money. And then that's pretty much gonna equal up to like one big quarterback contract, but you're paying it between two guys. So I say you bring Russ back, and if you can't sign Fields, you draft a quarterback or possibly trade up for a quarterback.
Let me ask you something, SB, just really quickly. Mm-hmm. If you're Russell Wilson, do you want to come back knowing that the Steelers are trying to find their long-term answer, and you're basically in a Kirk Cousins situation next season?
I'm going to say yes, because I don't see nowhere else he could really go that's going to be more stable than...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem.
Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to TalkSpace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at TalkSpace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at TalkSpace.com.
The Steelers and sometimes going to a bad situation just to start might do you more harm than good. Because then now if he goes to a bad situation just to start and the team is terrible and he looked terrible again like how he did with Denver, people are going to push him out the league. So I think I'd rather just take the chance then with the Steelers, be solid, and then just lose my spot to the backup, be a good, show me being a good vet, teaching the young guy up instead of going somewhere like the Jets and be atrocious, and then now I'm out the league in a hole. So, no, I would probably stay at the Steelers because it's a more stable organization. Sean, the part of the show I was like kind of avoiding. But we got to talk about the biggest elephant in the room, especially for me, I should say. Let's talk about it. Justin Herbert threw 4 interceptions in Saturday's 32-12 wild card loss to the Houston Texans. I'll probably say every word in the book watching that game. The most half probably mad at me as much as I probably cursed that day. But I feel like I should be forgiven because what I've seen on that TV screen watching this football game, it will make a man insane. Floor is yours first, Sean. I'll let you go first. What's your reaction to my Chargers and Justin Herbert? This Justin Herbert worst game he ever played. Now people are calling Justin Herbert a playoff bust. He can't show up in the playoffs. 0-2, one gave a big lead, and then 4 interceptions. So what's your reaction,
Sean? So 2 things. One, I don't put that Jacksonville debacle on Justin Herbert. He played well in that game.
Yes, he did.
He played well enough for them to win in that game. That there were a lot of things outside of Justin Herbert that went wrong in that game that caused him to lose that Jacksonville game. Now, I know we're in a what have you done for me lately league and situation. Saturday for me, SB, was a bit of an indictment, but not in a bad way. I know you love Jay Herbo. Yeah, I think you might be the only person who calls him Jay Herbo. I'm not sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I call him Jay Herbo. They try to call him Herbie. I ain't calling no grown man Herbie.
Yeah. And you know, there were people on Saturday calling him Justin Embiid, you know, T-Mac of the NFL, you know, there's all kinds of stuff.
That is crazy, man.
I think Justin Herbert's a really good quarterback.
Yes.
I don't think Justin Herbert's a force multiplier in that he is not the person you say, hey, we can just put anything around you and you'll make it work. For all the years that he played really well, having Keenan Allen, having Austin Eckler, having Mike Williams, that stuff mattered. And I think Saturday was truly an indictment on we can't just put anything around him and be successful. And again, the Chargers had some cap issues last offseason. You know why they had to make some of the decisions they made. You understand it?
Yes.
That said, I'm doing everything in my power to bring Keenan Allen back because I don't want to take away from the development of Ladd McConkey but they need a veteran in that room badly to help those guys.
Because we got one short receiver and the other dude's got nubs for hands. Quentin Johnson got to go. Cut him.
Well, I mean, I don't know if cut him, but I'll say that, you know, again, I think they need a veteran in that room to help those guys take their game to another level. I think obviously you have to continue to invest in the offensive weapons. I think the offensive line is really good. Mm-hmm. Obviously tackle to tackle is really, really good. I'm not probably touching that, but just the weapons around Justin Herbert have to be upgraded. And I think the Chargers have to go in the offseason with that in mind, but also obviously we're going to talk about another issue they're going to have to address in the offseason on the defensive side. But to me, what it said was Justin Herbert's a good quarterback. Justin Herbert's not a great enough quarterback to take whatever you put around him and figure it out. because that's not who he is.
I'm only agree with that point from the fact of where he at now in his career. He could become a force multiplier, obviously, because he still has the team in a playoff position. Obviously, we just dealing with the Chiefs in the division. You got somebody winning 15 plus games in your division. It's crazy. You got Patrick Mahomes. But even before Patrick Mahomes is like that now. So he can have anybody, he can make it happen. But early in his career, even with the first Super Bowl run, he wasn't like that. That's why he had the Tyreek Hills, Travis Kelce. You need that. I'm sorry. You need a guy, because there's only so much you can do at quarterback, especially when you got somebody like QJ who can't catch the ball for nothing. The ball touched that man hands more than anything, and he still dropped the ball. The four interceptions was atrocious. But the two of the interceptions was more atrocious because you got to catch the ball. Justin Herbert got two extra interceptions because even if one was a little higher, at the end of the day, if that ball touched your hands, you got to catch that ball. And if you're not going to catch the ball, don't let the defender get it. Ball went through the one guy hand a little too high by Justin Herbert.
Yeah, he didn't step into. He wasn't able to step into that throw. He didn't step into the throw, and that's why the ball sailed on him.
And then the next throw, dude was literally just running a route, just didn't catch the ball, wide open, drops it, another pick, and he loses. And I hate that because now with Herbie at a point in his career, he's still young, trying to build his confidence. I don't want them to ruin his confidence. But you, like you said, you have to get him somebody. I don't care what veteran it is. You got to get him somebody who can guarantee catch their ball. Like, he need that check down guy. He need that Keenan Allen on third and five. Or, like, that play where I think QJ hit a comeback route and stopped. And the defender overplayed. And he literally could have just caught it out of bounds and fell out of bounds. Hit his hands, drop the ball. It's only so much you can do. And Justin Herbert could have did that game. I'm sorry. But I will tip my hat to Houston. They played well. I still believe in Herbo. Herbo's is going to be a Super Bowl threat quarterback. All that T-Mac and B slander is going to go away soon once they get him a receiver. You have to – Sean, I want a vet, but draft somebody too or make a splash. If you can't make a splash because of money, draft somebody else. I do not – only person that should be in this wide receiving core on the field back next year that I want to see is Ladd McConkey. If your name ain't Ladd McCompany, Indeed, my boy, go to Indeed. You're not on my team no more. I want the whole receiving room cleaned out. Your jerseys, clean it out. Out. QJ first. First person to go. Out. Out. You had more drop. You had more drops than somebody who sit on the corner. So I don't want to hear that, man. He out. He got a go. He got a goal, man. He dropping more packages and passes off. He must be an Amazon driver. How much he dropping stuff off, Sean? In a bad way, man. He got to go. If your name ain't Ladd McConkey, you got to go. And I would also love to see the Chargers, if we can sneak and get him, and if he falls to where we at, go get Gentry a running back. Go get him. Because he like our coach Harbaugh like to run the ball. We need a legit threat. If we can't get nobody to catch the ball, we need a threat back there. We need a threat.
Can I say one thing, SB, real quick? You know, I don't do the whole toot my own horn thing and stuff like that, but I recall Friday when we were previewing this game, and I remember saying to you, those receivers for the Chargers don't scare the Houston defense and those Houston corners at all. That duo – Stingley, we know, is an all-pro. Stingley's already in the conversation, the best corner in the NFL.
Yes.
I think some people say him or Surtain. But,
I said Surtain, but he's right behind him, though.
Yeah, I think you could have either one and be fine. But Lassiter on the other side, the rookie from Georgia, he's really good. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you have to be able to threaten those corners, and they couldn't, and they didn't. And you saw the way they were playing. They were man up. Press. They were all in those receivers' face, like, you're not beating us today. I know McConkey had the one long touchdown on the catch and run, but for the most part, they were basically not afraid of those receivers at all. So, to your point, you have to upgrade out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I don't think Genty would necessarily be high on their list. There's some really good receivers in this draft that they can look at and take. But I think, again, the big thing is get a veteran in that room to help those young guys take the next step.
And then I'm not even trying to, like, harp on and attack Quentin Johnston. But man, that man had multiple targets, had zero receptions for zero catches. You out there getting cardio, my man. He's been out there getting cardio, Sean. What is he out there for, man? Look, man. This give me the vibes of when who picked this guy? I know Justin Jefferson was picked. Was it the Eagles who picked? It wasn't the Eagles who picked Aguilar.
No, it was Jalen Reagor.
Jalen Reagor, yeah. It felt like that. Bust, yes, bust.
Yeah, Eagles fans don't ever want to remember that.
Jalen Reagor, trash. Yeah,
they have literally like erased Jalen Reagor from there.
I'm gonna play Quentin Johnson's man. Because this is absolutely disgusting. But next on the list, though, too, because you got to hurry up and get about it. The game should be getting ready to start, or if not started already. But, yeah, Khalil Mack is considering retirement at the playoff loss. What do you think? I hope he does it because Khalil Mack is still a threat, but I can't understand that he's on the tail end of his career. What do you think about this?
I think, obviously, you know, when you start to get up there and Khalil Mack's been going for a while, playing for a long time, you know, 10 years or 11 years for him, you certainly start to think about, you know, your long-term health and just, you know, wanting to do more things, you know, with your life. So if Khalil Mack decides to hang it up, certainly won't be mad with him. He's 33 years old now, yeah. You know, and you really think about it, you know, got over 100 career sacks, you know, certainly is going to be in that Hall of Fame conversation when all is said and done. Won a Defensive Player of the Year, many first team All Pros. Short of trying to win a Super Bowl, he doesn't have anything left to prove. So, you know, I think his accolades speak for themselves in terms of individual accomplishment. But, you know, you'd love to see him, you know, have a chance to win a Super Bowl. He is a free agent. You know, there's a couple teams that could certainly use Khalil Mack. You know, definitely maybe not as a full time guy anymore, but definitely as a situational pass rusher if he decides to keep going. Love to see him consider. But that said, you know, if he hangs it up, he's got nothing left to prove. He's done what he's supposed to do.
I hope he don't leave and that, like, Khalil Mack has done what he wants done a lot in his career. If even for me as a Chargers fan, I would want to see Khalil Mack legitimately get a shot at the Super Bowl. So look, man, just go ahead, give him a low ball, send him to the not the Chiefs no more. Send him somewhere. Go send him to the Lions. Go send him to the Lions and then go compete. You be next to Aiden Hutchinson, go get you a Super Bowl. Two more stories, Sean, and then we got a quick preview of the game, and then we're gonna get up out of here. Las Vegas Raiders has in all the Deion Sanders talk and said they have zero interest in hiring Colorado's head coach Deion Sanders as the head coach. Is this a good and bad announcement for the Raiders?
It's not a surprising announcement because the Raiders weren't going to have two black coaches back-to-back, so not surprised at all.
I'm glad Deion ain't there, so then I don't have to, like, go against Deion because I actually like Deion because it's always F the Raiders. I hope they hire Mike McCarthy. That'd be great. That'd be great on my bingo board right there. That'd be perfect for them. Yeah, also, Ashton Jeanty said he would be a dream come true to be selected by the Dallas Cowboys in 2025. Do you think Dallas would be a great situation for Jeanty?
No. He should want to go to the Chicago Bears without question.
I think he's a Texas boy. That's why. So I can understand it.
He was born in Jacksonville. He's a military brat. But yeah, if I were him, I'd be doing everything in my power to get to the Chicago Bears with Caleb Williams.
I think if he goes to the Bears, that'll be outstanding. But you know, I hope he slip in the draft because people don't value the running back, and then my Chargers can pick him on up. I might look at the running backs in this draft too again. A game for the start now, Sean. We got the Vikings Ram preview. What's your prediction for this game, and then who you got winning? If it hasn't started already,
it has kicked off. It's about a minute and a half in the game. The Rams are driving. I picked the Vikings on Friday. I'm 5-0 with my picks. I'm sticking with the Vikings tonight. I just think the Vikings, you know, it'll be a home game for them. A lot of their fans travel. It'll be more of a home game in Arizona for them. So I'm picking the Vikings to win tonight.
Yeah, I think it would have been a little bit different if the Rams actually could have gotten L.A., and I think it'd be a better chance. So now it's pretty much like a double road game for teams. It's like even playing field. And then with the Rams in that the Vikings in that defense, I think they're going to show out. And then Darnold is definitely going to put them over the top. But the game will be closer than what a lot of people think because the Rams is not no slouch. Mm-mm. But I'm sticking with the Vikings, too. I picked the Vikings last week. Episode 34, Sean, what you got for 34?
You know, 34 is my number. My favorite is my number. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but three guys is very easy for me. Walter Payton.
Obviously.
Ray Allen and Hakeem Dream.
Hakeem the Dream. Obviously, I could go Shaq again. Shaq definitely wear 34. I'm going to go Shaq for sure. Shaq. I got to go Shaq. And I might go. Yeah, I'm just going to stick. I'm just stick with Shaq. Shaq. Got to go Shaq. The Diesel. Appreciate you guys for watching. It's been another great episode of Real Takes Over Fake the Base with SB and Sean Webb. Make sure you guys like, make sure you guys share, make sure you guys subscribe. Enjoy the movement and enjoy this football. Player NFL football is here, baby. We are back and we are out of here. Peace.
We know what you're thinking. I just want jeans that look great, feel great, and hold up. At Ariat, we've been doing some thinking too. We're thinking about fit that moves with you, no matter where the ride takes you. Durability that stands up to hard work, harder play, and comfort that never quits. And all this thinking, it's really just about more living. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat jeans at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Help DEA keep our communities safe and healthy by participating in National Prescription Drug Take Back Day, Saturday, October 25th. Take action right in your own home by cleaning out your medicine cabinet of unneeded medications. Keep them safe, clean them out, take them back. Find a collection site near you at DEATakeBack.com. Do your part to lower overdose deaths and prevent prescription drug misuse before it starts. That's DEATakeBack.com.